I've run kind of Twitter workshops for PhD and ECRs, and it's the big question is, you know, where do you draw the line? Do you have two accounts? Do you kind of talk in a certain way? I mean, my kind of view on it is anything that, you know, I've got some of my students following me, so that kind of, you know, if I'm happy for my students to hear it, that's it. And you do, you know, you have to have a personality, you have to have kind of some stuff that's not just strictly academic, but maybe I'm a little bit overly careful about it sometimes, and then other times you sort of just let it slip a bit, but essentially anything that I don't want colleagues to hear or students to hear, I wouldn't tweet about.
Which is really common sense. Yeah. But I think it's whatever you're comfortable with, because I think even as academics, people have very different styles. So I'm probably not very popular from my writing either, or my academic presenting. So I just feel it would feel contrived if I was sort of adopting this kind of tweety persona that doesn't quite fit mine, and she can't be bothered, really. So I just, you know. But again, that doesn't mean that you stop thinking about what you're putting out there. So I think I like the idea of the student test. And, you know, I've got students following me. So, you know, if they can hear it and not misunderstand, then it's fine. And, you know, I don't really care about if my students disapprove of me watching The Apprentice. You know, I think I can live with that.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, no, I know.
Well, I disapprove of people who tweet a commentary of The Apprentice. You don't do that, do you?
No.
That's brilliant.
No, but I don't mind listening. Because the thing is also, you kind of... I know I'm a linguist by training, so what also fascinates me about Twitter is the difference between people who can use 140 characters effectively and people like me who just say things that are 140 characters long. And you learn to appreciate the, you know, articulate people out there who manage to express so much in 140 characters. And I think, I'm not even sure it's a skill, I think it's a talent. So it really forces you, because you could have people having deep and philosophical conversations. I follow Steve Fuller from our sociology department, and he's I think, German philosopher. And they have the most deep kind of discussion, and they fit so much in 140 characters. And but you kind of realise that if you want to interact with them, you really got to know what it is that you're saying. And you know, I struggle with 8,000 words in a paper sometimes, you know, to fit it all in. So it's a good intellectual discipline, I think. You know, maybe not the apprentice tweeting. That's not. But
how much time do you spend composing tweets? Can they be quite a long, drawn out?
Sometimes. When people... Well, I had, you know, the very prominent playwright, David Edgar, asking me for a paper and asking, so what's the argument? Just a call to know. You know, if I needed 8,000 words to write a paper, you're asking me. And you can't send him 20 tweets, because that is, you know, that's irritating when people have to kind of, you know, really long. So, and I just thought, okay, well, let's think about it a little bit. You know, I'll give myself 2 tweets. And he was, you know, he was enthused enough that he asked for the paper. So, you know, not sure what he made of it afterwards, but you know, I was quite pleased with myself then. So it depends. I think not all tweets are the same. I wouldn't necessarily pore over an apprentice tweet that long.
Something to watch out for as well is that the Twitter model is being broken or changed quite dramatically by mobile devices, and it's starting to come into the desktop as well. Because people like me I'll write something in Evernote, or there'll be a photo or something like that. And on these mobile devices, you get a link to tweet that thing, and it creates a link in Twitter. You can put a short description, but it gives people a link to see the whole article. So it's kind of breaking the Twitter model. And it also takes the funny out of it, the challenge of trying to...
Yeah, no, but really you see, because I didn't know about any of that, I still leave the challenge. I mean, you don't have to use this stuff if you... Because I think it's actually quite interesting, and I think you learn to... I mean, there's a lot of journalists on Twitter, but, you know, you can really tell the ones that really are just a pleasure to follow, because they are really, really... A good read, 140 characters worth, good read.
When you start just posting links to documents and images, you stop being an interesting person to follow. Yeah. And I'm not an interesting person to follow at all anymore. I'm just self-promoting my bit of writing or whatever. So
yeah, but,
no,
but I think the refreshing thing is, I think there is an understanding that there is that self-promotion is one thing that Twitter does. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to feel, because I'm actually not really good at self-promotion, I find it a bit embarrassing. But in Twitter, there's this kind of understanding that you're meant to do it. If you're not doing it, you're not using Twitter properly. So even people who are not really that interested will forgive you for, you know, let them know that you have a scholarship going and, you know, is anybody interested? And people will pass the information on. And I think that's what's brilliant. Because I may have 900 odd people following me, which, you know, I think, you know, I'm quite pleased with. But a lot of the people that I follow have even bigger networks. So if I send this thing out and it gets retweeted by a handful of people, it'd be literally thousands of people getting that tweet. Now, they may never see it. But, you know, things have a way of moving around Twitter, and if something is interesting, it'll get back into your timeline at some point or another.